Hello, and welcome to the Syracuse University College of Law podcast, where we discuss pressing legal topics with our distinguished faculty and alumni. I'm David Crane, professor of practice at the College of Law and project leader of the Syrian Accountability Project at the College of Law. Today, we're going to discuss a recent white paper released by the Syrian Accountability Project that details rape in Syria during 2011 to 2015. The report, Looking Through the Window Darkly, is the first document of its kind to not only highlight and analyze reported accounts of this horrific gender crime, but also to apply international legal standards with an eye toward future transitional justice for the victims. I'd like to introduce my guests, Peter Lavrant, Executive Director of the Syrian Accountability Project and third-year law student at the College of Law, Molly White, Chief Registrar of the Syrian Accountability Project and also a third-year student at the College of Law, and Zach Lucas, the incoming Executive Director of the Syrian Accountability Project, a rising 3L. Hello and welcome, Peter, Molly, and Zach. Before we discuss the white paper, can you provide some background on what the Syrian Accountability Project does and what its methods are, Pete?
Sure. So the Syrian Accountability Project started in 2011 as a means of beginning the documentation of potential war crimes and crimes against humanity occurring in Syria. Our inspiration came from Professor Crane, from you, and your experiences in Sierra Leone, laying the foundation for a potential prosecution in some scale for all of the crimes that are occurring in Syria and for all the victims for eventual transitional justice. Right now, we are working towards the end of our fifth phase, which is the fifth year of the conflict, and soon we will be working on to the sixth year, and that's why we've got Zach here to help us along with that project, as well as Molly, who runs the charge with kind of our budding product, which is the trend analysis, and that was also featured very heavily in our report.
Let's talk about the report just real briefly. How did the Looking Through a Window Darkly white paper research project start and take shape?
The project actually started back in 2014 in the summer. One of our alums started the project when we were in Brussels in Belgium in an internship with No Peace Without Justice. And she began the documentation process, started writing the paper, and started kind of laying the groundwork for the report as it stands now. Over the course of the academic year, it continued through a couple other students until it eventually made its way to me. And this past summer, we completely rewrote it, made sure it was up to our standards, and revised the incidents to account for everything that had occurred in the past year. So as it stands, we've got incidents of rape now being documented from its start in 2011 to the current place of the conflict. And essentially that was 2015 at the time, and we are continuing this project throughout our work. So it'll be continued into 2016 and beyond. As long as the conflict is going, we'll be documenting these incidents.
What are the main findings in the white paper, Pete, since you're one of the principal authors of the paper itself?
I think our biggest finding is that out of 142 incidents that we documented, we noticed that the vast majority, 60-odd percent, were perpetrated by the Syrian regime, followed shortly behind by Shabiha, which is a militia element closely tied to the regime. Now, this does not necessarily mean that these crimes are not being committed by other groups, because they certainly are, and we document them, but it just means that the most transparent and the most credible of these incidents that we found were from individuals who had been raped by members of the Syrian regime and Shabiha.
Now, the white paper is a snapshot analysis of these 142 cases, but in reality, there have been more rapes than just that over the past 5 years.
Absolutely. Our estimates during the research were anywhere between 6,000 and 50,000 individual incidents of rape, and we only were able to document 142, which, as you noted, is a very small snapshot of the overall occurring incidences.
Molly, why do you think this white paper is so important?
I think it's important because it's added another layer to our analysis on the Syrian Accountability Project. Initially, we were only looking at war crimes in the sense of murder, torture, kidnapping. So the primary focus of the project has not included the rape, whereas rape is a weapon of war. And now, as this has been published, the rest of the world will understand that it's not just murder that is an atrocity during wartime. Rape is also, and it's, rape is an incident that keeps on traumatizing its victims even after the violence is over.
Molly, I know you've been working with Pete with this project, but how do you envision the white paper being used?
I think it's going to be a jumping point for the project to maybe in the future incorporate rape in the greater project or the greater work product. But I also think that it gives future prosecutors, if a tribunal is created, if that's what the Syrian people want for justice, it gives them a snapshot and specific victims that they can go speak to in building their case for rape as a war crime and crime against humanity.
Now, the Syrian Accountability Project is building a trial package. Could you tell us what that trial package is actually?
Yes, it is a conflict narrative. So it's a written report of all of the incidences of crimes that are occurring in combination with a matrix, which documents the time and place that the crime occurred, what the crime was. It gives a description of who was injured or attacked. It then describes which statutes that those crimes violate. So our project is looking at the Geneva Convention, the Rome Statute, and the Syrian Penal Code.
That's very important. I don't think there are any other NGOs within the system in the world that are actually developing, taking the data and turning it into a conflict map, a crime-based matrix, or a set of sample indictments, but also the crime-based matrix laying out all the potential incidents, but using also the Syrian criminal code.
Yeah, we were specifically interested in using the Syrian criminal code because the tribunal might be a domestic tribunal when the violence stops, and it really is dependent upon what the Syrian people want or how they view justice. It might not include international assistance, but in the instance that it does, we also included the Geneva Convention.
Well, now that you're talking about that, what do you think are the next steps for the transitional justice for the Syrian people?
I think that's a complicated question. I think it'll depend on when the violence ends, how it ends. Now that there are a lot of external actors involved in this what was a civil war, it really is going to depend on when the violence ends, and if the international community can bring that to a standstill via ceasefires or peace negotiations. But I think then it will involve talking to the Syrian people, doing outreach programs, trying to figure out how they view justice and how they want to move forward in transitioning out of the civil war.
The research and analysis of the Syrian Accountability Project is conducted by College of Law students. Zach, how and why did you get involved as the new executive director coming in? But for someone who might be interested in joining us in the future, that might be very helpful to them.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Professor. The reason I got involved is, one, during my undergraduate studies, I looked into a lot of conflicts similar to what is going on in the Syrian civil war, such as the Bosnian conflict in the 90s. So I did have an interest in that, but my main interest is, one, is that this is happening in Syria, and like the usual news cycle is, they'll tell you it happens, and then it disappears because there's something more that comes on that just kind of puts it in the past. And when you talk to people that this matters to, this is still going on for many, many years, and they don't have the voice to be able to do something. So what got me involved is we give those people a voice. And as with the white paper we just released, we're also giving a voice to people that normally wouldn't have one. Really, the true victims of war, like women and children. So when I would say to new people that want to join, they can join really for that reason, is they're helping people that can't help themselves and giving them a voice for justice.
The Syrian Accountability Project is a real-world legal project. Pete, could you tell us who our clients are that we're working for in providing this information?
Sure, absolutely. We have been providing information to the United Nations, the International Criminal Court, as well as the Syrian National Council, and the State Department of the United States. Those are our big clients, but we also have contacts with several international non-governmental organizations across the planet, honestly. And our work product has definitely been featured all over the internet. I mean, we're up and running now on social media, so we're even more available to the public. And yeah, we've had great outreach so far, and it's a real project, and that's what separates us from several other organizations here, is that it has real-world ramifications, and it's something that students can do starting from their first year at law school.
Well, the Syrian Accountability Project is a neutral effort looking at all the parties equally, and not just Assad's forces, but all of the associated organizations of all the warring parties. And that's very, very important. And in reality, it's all about the people of Syria, wouldn't you agree?
I completely agree. I think that's another one of our major facets, is the fact that we really don't focus on any one organization. I mean, the blame lies everywhere, and there are certainly all parties are potentially guilty of various war crimes and crimes against humanity, and it's very important from our perspective to remain neutral, be nonpartisan, and report as things are actually happening.
Well, Molly and Pete, now that you're getting ready to graduate and you've contributed so much to the Syrian Accountability Project, what have you learned? How is this going to impact your future legal career? I'll let Molly go first, and then Pete, you can finish.
I've learned that transitional justice is a difficult process, and it's very much dependent on the situation and the countries and the people involved. I think working on the Syrian Accountability Project has opened my eyes a lot more to the international criminal justice system, and moving forward in interviews and even during interviews for summer internships, it gave me something to speak about that I'm very passionate about, and it has given me a lot of skills that are useful not only in the international criminal field, but in data analysis, which is useful for any government job or any job in analyzing in the legal field. Specifically, it's given me the opportunity to talk to international firms and has put me on the path to start working in the international criminal justice field.
Pete?
No, I agree with a lot of that, honestly. I think it's really sharpened the skills that I've learned in law school in terms of analyzing data, in terms of writing legal products, and learning about the international criminal system and just jurisprudence in general. So it's something that's going to be just greatly important in the future, especially for me. I mean, I'll be working with the Army Judge Advocates Corps after graduation, and I think that's something that can potentially be a springboard into some sort of international prosecutorial work or something of that nature in the future. And just the tools we've learned here have been immensely helpful in getting us to someday working in that field.
Zach, as the new incoming executive director in a 2L, where do you see the Syrian Accountability Project going under your leadership?
Well, first I see it, you know, continuing what we've already been doing, is the crime-based matrix and conflict narrative. This is really where our bread and butter is, and this is how we plan to present that trial package that Molly discussed. And then we're also going to continue our trends analysis, where we're able to keep showing how the war has progressed, crime by crime, perpetrator by perpetrator. As for new projects into the future, we're still looking at new things of how we want to look at things in the war, but mainly continuing what we've already been doing and preparing that trial package.
So you see potential future white papers coming out on various topics?
I do foresee that happening. It's going to have to be one we're going to look for interest, particular topics. We just don't want to do it on anything. But we are currently looking into possibly doing another white paper.
Well, let me ask you, for our listeners, obviously that's going to generate interest based on this interview, and any incoming students to the Syracuse University College of Law like to be a part of this and human rights, which is broadly based here at the College of Law to include Impunity Watch. How can somebody access the report itself and also learn more about the Syrian Accountability Project?
So one way they can definitely access the current white paper released and more about Syrian Accountability Project is to go to our website, SyrianAccountabilityProject.org, and that'll give a basis about our project, and they will have access to the entire white paper that we just released.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your time, Peter, Molly, and Zach. For more information about Syracuse University College of Law, I would really recommend that you visit us at law.syr.edu and come see what you can do for the world. Thank you.